Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Jimmy Hines from WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, good morning.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
That's right. You can be left tackle. The Vols win 59-3 over East Tennessee. Jimmy, Tennessee got rolling in the second quarter. They scored 28 points after a weather delay, because what would a game around here be without one of those? What did you think about the offensive line, I guess, early on, struggling against, really not a great FCS team for part of the day?
Well, it was pretty bad. 8 carries for minus 1 yard. I know that ETSU was throwing some different looks and stunning and blitzing and stemming and moving around, and Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee's coach, gave more credit to ETSU than he did blaming his offensive line. But as Tim Irwin said on the Sunday morning show that I did with him, he said, I don't care if ETSU puts 12 on the line of scrimmage, you shouldn't have minus 1 yard on 8 carries. So the offensive line didn't perform well. After that, they made some adjustments. They did block better, but you still didn't run the ball consistently well against an FCS team. So that's going to be a problem going forward for this team, when you think about them playing SEC-caliber opponents.
What do you like about the chemistry that seems to be developing between Jared Garantano and Marquez Callaway?
I like it a lot. Callaway has 11 catches. He had 24 all of last year. He's on pace for a 60-catch season. I think he could get there. I think that they do have great chemistry right now. Callaway's a big receiver. He's got good hands. The majority of the catches he's made have been on short passes, but that's okay. I think he can average close to 5 or 6 catches per game this year, which puts him at a really high total. So I like that chemistry, and I think right now it's clearly the best chemistry that they have of any of the passing combinations on Tennessee's team.
You think they got the work they wanted out of the quarterbacks, you know, with Chris also getting in there?
I do. I thought Chris came in and did pretty well. He was 3 for 3. He had a 50-yard touchdown pass. He looked pretty good. It's interesting. I heard from so many different people about how he just has a really poor, weak arm. I don't think so. I will tell you this. Somebody very close to the program told me that every now and then he's inconsistent with his arm strength, and he'll throw a bullet one time and then he'll throw one in the dirt in front of the receiver. I don't know if that's footwork or what the deal is, a hitch in the delivery. I'm not sure about that, but he showed plenty of arm strength in that game, and Tennessee needs to get a backup quarterback ready given the history of the quarterback injuries they've had in recent years.
Well, with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, and I guess let's start off with the beginning of the game with the Jumbotron tribute to Randy Sanders. Man, how do you think that affected them early on? Man, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, and I thought that it was a nice tribute to Randy. Randy Sanders went to Tennessee as a quarterback in 1984. He resigned during the 2005 season. So that's 22 years in a row that he spent with Tennessee. And he went on to Kentucky, did a good job there, good job at Florida State, ironically helping Florida State win a national championship with Jeremy Pruitt as the defensive coordinator. But I thought it was a nice tribute to Randy Sanders.
And how about the defense and Kirkland getting a big play there? He's looked like he's fresh and looking healthy. I mean, I guess considering him with the big brace on, it looks like he's moving around pretty good.
Well, that was a really good thing to see on a number of levels. First off, here's a guy that missed all of last season with the knee injury. And quite frankly, I wondered if he still had the mobility and the speed and so forth that made him such a really good player early in his career. And he certainly showed that he did. Second thing is, if he can play at a high level, that helps the defense a lot. I thought he did a nice job. He said afterward, Bryce Thompson, the freshman, defensive back, returned his interception to the 3, and Kirkland said, I showed a veteran move. I scored. You're supposed to score with those things, not get tackled on the 3. So he had a good time with him, but I thought that was really good for Kirkland. He's a great young man. It's nice to see him have success.
I was a little concerned there. They got off to a slow start, as Inge talked about a little bit there, but does this team look better, I guess, or better coach, let's say, than last year's team? What is your feel?
Let me watch him against Florida before I answer that. I don't know yet. It's hard for me to say the offensive line's better coach. It's hard for me to say the secondary's better coach. So I don't know yet. I'll, I will say this. There are some signs that are good. For example, the turnover ratio. They've had zero in two games. Is that good coaching? Maybe. Yeah. But they got a 4-0 turnover margin. Against ETSU, they only had three penalties. I think that's a good sign. Now, what was funny was after the game, Bob Kessling, the voice who carries the play-by-play announcer for Tennessee, he didn't like to be called the voice of the ball, the play-by-play announcer said that, well, you played a really clean game, no turnovers and three penalties. He said, that's not clean. We had three penalties. So his standard, Pruitt's standard, is pretty high. But I think those are signs of a well-coached team. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to judge that against those, and even UTEP. Let me watch them against Florida, and I think we'll have a better idea.
What young player, I guess, or players show glimpse of hope? Do you say, okay, they're improving? This guy's probably going to be a decent, solid player.
Bryce Thompson, the cornerback. He didn't play well against West Virginia. He'd tell you that. Pruitt said that. Had a really good week of practice. He came back and competed and came in and played well in that game. So I think he's one of them. I'll give you Jerome Carvin. Carvin got the start at guard, and I think he did pretty well. Again, that's the caliber competition. It's not a great way to judge that, but I thought he did a nice job. Jeremy Banks came in and ran with some power. He almost hurt himself when he decided to jump on a couple of chairs there on the sideline and fell, and he almost injured himself over there. But I think he's another one. So Banks and Carvin and Thompson would be among that group.
Jimmy, didn't get specific about the block punt, but, again, second straight week, I think the Vols got their hand on the football, so that's a nice characteristic, whether they're playing ETSU or anybody.
Yeah, and Marquell Osborne on his block, he just ran through. Nobody touched him, and he really took a nice angle. There's an art to that, but he took a nice angle as far as going toward the ball blocking it, picking it up, and then scoring. The block punt against Virginia Tech, I'm sorry, West Virginia actually rolled a few yards beyond the line, but the point is they got their hand on it. So, yeah, that's two in a row that they have done that. And so that's a good sign going forward. But that was a big play for Osborne, one of the biggest plays he's made in his Tennessee career.
I know you touched on his name. Has Jeremy Banks made a case for getting more touches as the games get more important?
I think so. Of course, with Ty Chandler out, he had the head injury. I think he was in concussion protocol. They never mentioned that. But he practiced on Wednesday, Thursday. Pruitt said Chandler could have played, but with the score, they held him out. They should have held him out anyway. I didn't think that was a factor. But I thought the way Banks ran, I thought he was quick to the line of scrimmage. I thought he ran with power. He hit the hole. He scored on two short runs of 1 and 3 yards. And, I like him. It's kind of amazing that the previous staff did not recruit him out of Cordova. They like Carvin. They recruited Carvin, their teammates out of Cordova, but they didn't recruit Banks. And Banks was headed elsewhere, and then Tennessee came in and Pruitt looked at him and said, that's kind of back I like. So, yes, I think he has earned more playing time. And it looks, and even Mondre London, the fifth-year grad transfer from Michigan State, said this guy's going to be a really good back in the future.
All right, we spread enough sugar around, but in my opinion, Jimmy, Congbo's loitering out there, and if he can't dominate – against, East Tennessee State, what's going to happen, when the Floridas and the other, and the teams after start showing up?
So one quarterback pressure doesn't impress you.
I
just don't think he's a very good football player. I have felt that way for a while. They moved him to another position. They thought, well, maybe out in space he would be a good player. We even had a guy that called our show after West Virginia and said, how come he didn't make the trip? Well, he made the trip. Didn't play very well. He changed his number from 1 to 99. Maybe that's why some people didn't know he was even out there. But he is not making plays. And I just think he doesn't have a real good football IQ. I think the fact that he played very limited amount of football in high school, maybe 1 year, has had an impact on him. I don't think the game comes naturally to Congbo. He is a pretty good athlete, but he just doesn't make any plays. And I would not be surprised to see Tennessee go in another direction and start somebody ahead of him.
Now, Pruitt was not afraid to yank Drew Richmond from the game. He
right.
rotated seven offensive linemen. What do you think their best combination is, or do they have one?
I don't know yet. I do like where they are at guard with two newcomers. One's a junior college player, Jameer Johnson, and then I think Carvin. Now, when they get an SEC competition, we'll see. So I think Ryan Johnson will be fine at center. Trey Smith is a great left tackle. I don't know what the best combination is because I don't know who the best right tackle is. Richmond has not played well, and that's a new position for him, but still, he hasn't played well. Tatum just doesn't look like he's strong enough to me. I don't know. Chance Hall doesn't look like he's ready to play. So I don't know the best combination. One of those guys has to get better on the right side, or else it's going to be a long year for Tennessee at that particular position.
You know, we keep looking for a path for them to finish at least 6-6. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that Florida loss to Kentucky is a little bit of a revelation that Dan Mullen, who said after the game, even if we had won, it can't mask the problems that we have. So, that looks, suddenly looks like an even more winnable game.
You know, it's interesting. Florida looks more winnable. Kentucky looks less winnable.
Yeah.
So it's a trade, I guess. Benny Snell ran for 175 yards on that defense. Kentucky ran for over 300 yards on that defense. I know they didn't have C.C. Jefferson, but does he make that much of a difference? At one point, Felipe Franks was 12 of 32 passing against Kentucky's defense. Now, Kentucky's defense has improved. It's not that good. So, yeah, that's a huge question mark for Florida coming in. So, I felt going in, Mark, that the most important game to determine the direction of Tennessee and whether they could get to 6-6 was Florida. I still feel that way. I do. It does look to be more winnable. It looks like you can run on Florida, maybe. Certainly Kentucky did. Whether Tennessee can remains to be seen. But that was very surprising to me that they got beaten like that and by Kentucky. And again, the way they got beat, to give up 300 yards rushing, was I just didn't see that coming.
Jimmy, to finish up, what did Georgia show you in dominating South Carolina, and what did Texas A&M show you in coming up just short against a really good Clemson team?
Georgia showed me everything. to me, I'm not so sure Alabama and Georgia aren't the two best teams in the country again this year. Fromm was good. Defense was good. They started with a pick six. Very impressive. They can run the football. They can throw it. I like Georgia a lot. They dominated South Carolina in a fashion. I said take South Carolina in the point. That's how dumb I was. No getting 10 points. Of course, I wasn't as dumb as some people that pick South Carolina, but still. On the flip side of that, A&M, I was impressed. I play in this fantasy league, and I got Clemson's defense, and I said, I'm not playing Clemson's defense because I think A&M's offense could be pretty good. Kellen Mond had a tremendous game. He had over 400 yards passing. I'm really impressed with what Jimbo Fisher has done with that team so far. They came a 2-point conversion from sending that game into overtime. They're a tough out. Now, I think I might be right about them. I said they would be the most improved team in the West. We shall see. Now, I may be wrong on the East. I said the most improved team in the East would be Florida. That's not looking very good, but I'm impressed with A&M. I think they're going to be a tough out for a lot of teams.
Jimmy, thanks as always. Talk to you on Friday.
Thank you.